Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I go to Denver Bible Church, and I invite everyone in the audience to come and visit us.
Yeah, Doug, just yesterday we went through our pastor's quiz.
Ah, yes.
On the air.
It was refreshing.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
And we're adding something to our About Us page.
Okay.
Now, a lot of About Us pages, maybe they're not all that exciting. I don't know.
Most of them are not that exciting.
KGov.com's About Us page is just the trip. I mean, it's got the sign on the mountain. That's the world's largest protest sign.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let
me see. And it's got our top 12 contributions.
Oh, he's got that great photograph of you from, I forget, where was
that's
that
from? When a news report when I was being sued by NPR Radio.
That's one of the best pictures ever.
National Public Radio.
That's worth the price of admission right there to the About Us page.
And our top 12 contributions, the things that we have presented over the years from the Bible that we think are the most significant. So our top 12 contributions.
Okay.
And then we're just beginning our top accomplishments.
Accomplishments.
And that is really interesting. You went through a list of these.
I did at the 25th anniversary gala dinner.
Yes.
That was attended by an elite force of inside founders.
Yes.
Yes.
So we're going to take that list that you presented and put it on our About page.
Oh, very good. I've got the list right here. Ooh. I happen to have my laptop. Look at this. 2, 3 All right. keystrokes. On a MacBook Air, you can just pull stuff up.
So then you'll be able to email that to me.
Yes.
And I'll add it to our About page, kgov.com/about.
My list
is real enjoyable.
My list is subjective.
Yeah.
So these are in order of importance as I see them.
Yeah.
Maybe not as other people would see them.
So top 10. So the 10th.
But no, they asked me for the top 5. And off the top of my head, I came up with 16.
Oh.
That's what I came up with.
So what was the 16th, working up to the first?
The 16th was the Clinton raped Juanita protest event.
Wow.
That we did in 100 cities.
145 cities all over the world.
So that the world would never forget the credible charge of rape against the president of the United States.
Yes. And that, in fact, has succeeded because.
Absolutely.
Because it is not just a footnote.
It's no longer.
Widely known that he's a rapist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Number 15, exposing the hypocrisy of Focus on the Family.
Whoa.
The video that they continued to play in their visitor center.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where who's that psychologist who run that place a while
back? Dr. James Dobson, who's no longer there.
He's no longer
but
there.
But he said, for as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never support a politician willing to kill a single innocent child. And sure enough, he broke that pledge.
He endorsed John McCain.
So many.
Well, John McCain was at that moment when you organized
and
the
Romney
protest.
And so on. Yeah.
Yes, but that was John, the son of Cain. Yeah. Now, number 14, I listed as the world's largest protest sign.
Oh,
the Democratic National Committee, DNC, destroys unborn children.
8 years ago.
On Table Mesa. Mm-hmm. Is that where we unfurled that?
Yeah, yeah.
Number 13, burning O.J. Simpson.
Oh, his memorabilia.
His memorabilia. I got to regale a coworker with that just the other day, and they Googled my picture in Sports Illustrated. I said, I have my picture in Sports Illustrated. And they
Googled
like,
it.
And
no
they
way. Found, and yeah. there we were on they the steps it. Of the L.A. courthouse.
Number 12, evidence against the Big Bang video.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that's going to be, that'll be
and
even
that's
more
brand new, but people are just finding out about that.
Yeah. Number 11, the global flood and hydroplate video.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most convincing theories on origins in the flood, one of the most systematically sophisticated and elegant theories presented by Dr. Walt Brown.
On the science and the scripture of it.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah.
That'll have influence for generations to come.
Yeah.
Number 10, Focus on the Strategy video.
Oh, yeah.
Basically a condemnation of the strategy of Republicans to try to win moral arguments without God.
Regulating child killing.
Yes, regulating.
And exceptions.
Yeah, all of them.
And help to launch the modern personhood movement.
Exactly. That is exactly what, that's part and parcel. Number nine, Real Science Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and not just Real Science Radio, by the way.
Yeah.
That you pioneered the podcast before the iPod. Because the first
before
broadcast.
Before the iPod,
you did a podcast.
We started in the 90s.
Now, we didn't call it a podcast back
no.
then. We called it an internet radio show.
Yes.
Yes, and we did it, and we're still doing it.
And that's one of the reasons why we do so well on Google search terms, because we staked out our territory on the web back in the 90s.
Yes. I believe we've had the website since 98, so going on 20 years.
Yeah.
Number eight, Bob and Yart Live, obviously this show. Number seven, God's Criminal Justice System, which was very important to me getting saved.
Wow.
Number six, God's Biblical Attributes. That video, Bob, I mean, it just makes God so relatable. Mm. That, again, will influence for generations.
Now, Doug, wait a second. I'm going to interrupt you. My producer is saying, give out the phone number because someone asked us to give out the phone number. So the phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278.
Only call that number if you bring something to the table. Number five, the plot, obviously, help people understand the Bible. Number
My
four,
life's work on
a
the
verse
Bible.
Verse-by-verse study through the Bible, Bob, your ongoing Bible studies that I listen to all the time.
Yeah, so fun.
Number three, Personhood 2008, American Right to Life, the Modern Personhood Movement.
ProLifeProfiles.com.
Yes. Number two, Mount Moriah, the Mountain of Evidence.
Evidence for the Resurrection.
And that's a video as well. Wow. And number one, Denver Bible Church.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's the way I see your top.
Wow. That Doug, thank you. What an honor and a thrill that you would put that list together. They asked for five. You put together 16. So we will collect what, you know, we think are the most significant accomplishments and, you know, probably your list right there. And we'll add that to our about page, kgov.com/about. And I tell you, it's so interesting as it is right now with our 12 most significant contributions. And that means moral teachings, theological teachings, scientific observations.
What? Moral and scientific? Are you allowed to do that? Both moral, make moral and scientific contributions?
I think so.
Religion and science?
I think so. I mean, blood vessels in a dinosaur bone prove that the earth is young and therefore that the Bible is true. And therefore, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Wow. I mean, you get that from blood cells in dinosaur bones.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That evolution is not true. The earth is not billions of years old. There's no Big Bang. And God created the earth, as the Bible says. And dinosaurs died, the vast majority of them, in the global flood.
Yes, and it's pretty easy to get to the gospel from the dinosaur soft
just
tissue
that. Or just that.
The age of a rock. You don't want to debate the age of a rock? I can steer you into the gospel in less than 10 sentences.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm just so glad that you've been there doing it. And I look forward to a less than boring about page because most of them are pretty stale.
Okay.
So that'll
all
be
right.
a good one.
So I'm glad that our board operator said to give out the number because we have a call. Already, that was quick. Judah from California. Judah, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Judah?
Pretty good. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're welcome. So what's up?
Hey, so I heard about your show from my uncle, and I have a few questions for you that I hope you can answer.
Well, we'll try. Doug and I'll try. Judah, you sound young. Could I ask how old are you?
18 years old.
All right. Well, it's an honor that you called in.
All right. So my first question, is all lying sin?
Is all lying sin? Doug, could you help with this?
No. I mean, no. All lying is not sin, is what I meant to say.
Yeah. All lying is not sin because in the Bible, we see that God blesses deception and lying at times when you're lying to the wicked who want to kill the innocent. Mm. Well, then that's a very good thing to do. And the city of Ai, God taught the Jews how to use a military deception. And deception is lying.
That's right.
There's a case in the Bible where a prophet deceived the king. The king wanted to know, are we going to succeed in this battle? Yeah. And the prophet said, oh, definitely, you're definitely going to succeed.
Go for it.
And the king could tell he was lying, you know. So he said, come on, what does the Lord really say? And the guy, the prophet says, you're going to get wiped out.
you're done, buddy.
The king was so mad at the guy. He was mad at him for lying. He was mad at him for telling the truth. But it's like when the wicked, if Adolf Hitler says, well, if I attack everyone at one time, am I going to win? Yeah,
go
Adolf.
For it. Go.
Go for it. You're going to win. Attack the whole world at once. Be like ISIS. Mm. Attack everyone simultaneously.
Yeah. So it's okay to lie to the wicked to protect the innocent.
Like the Hebrew midwives and like Rahab,
yeah,
for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, Judah, what are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking the same thing. One of the people I bring up to people who say lying is a sin completely, I bring up Corrie ten Boom. And did she commit the lesser sin by lying, but then got reward for saving all those Jews?
Well, of course, it was not a sin to lie to the Germans, the soldiers, who wanted to take the Jews into concentration camps and then gas them to death. So it was God honoring to deceive the murderers. So, Doug, if you have a murderer who's trying to find a child to kill, and someone says, well, I'm a Christian, I have to tell the truth, the child is hiding down there. Mm. I mean, what a freak, what a loser. That's sinful.
Yeah, God would condemn that person.
That's
as
cowardice.
A coward. Yeah.
Yeah, so Judah, we agree with you, of course, so that's awesome.
And this kind of goes with my second question. Can someone be in a situation where sin is the only option, where you have to choose, like, the lesser sin?
Wow. Hey, what does the book of Hebrews say?
How old are you again?
18.
You think about stuff like this.
This is pretty.
So there is hope for Western civilization.
Brightest audience in the country.
Indeed.
So, wow. Judah, in the book of Hebrews, we read that there is no temptation that overcomes a man that God has not made a way of escape.
Mm.
There is never a time when your only options are sin A or sin B. And there are many who want to manipulate us who say, well, you have to choose A or B. You know, if you live in Germany and it's the Marxists versus the Nazis, you have to vote. You have to support one or the other. And actually, you don't. When Jesus was told he had to choose A or B, he would choose C.
Mm.
And there's never a time where you have to sin. Has anyone given an example of that, Judah, as far as you can tell?
It would be Corrie ten Boom's case. Would she lie and commit the smaller sin, or would she let the Jews die?
Wow. So the person who calls that a sin is wrong. And as Jesus said, you err because you do not know the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Because God blessed the Hebrew midwives, and he blessed them for lying to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh said, kill the male children. And they said, we can't. The Hebrew women are too fast. They're not like Egyptian women. So they give birth before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have told the truth, then Pharaoh would have just, what would he have done?
He would have killed the children.
He would have killed the midwives and then.
Well, yeah, he would have killed the midwives.
Sent someone else in who would kill the children.
Absolutely.
So they lied and God blessed them and gave them children of their own.
That's right.
The midwives. Now, and Rahab also was blessed.
Now, Judah, in regards to that issue, keep in mind that while sin is never the only option, it is quite possible that to avoid sinning, you might have to give up something very significant, including your own life.
Wow.
It's quite possible. So I think people who I know that on college campuses, we hear about situational ethics and moral relativism, and they try to put students in a position where it could cost you your life, and then they try to get you to choose something sinful. But the fact is, you may have to give of yourself or your life
to avoid sin. Like if somebody says, some sick kidnappers, we're going to kill you unless you kill that child.
Mm-hmm.
You don't kill the child.
No, you might be killed.
And generally speaking, you don't do anything a criminal tells you to do. They say, get in the car, we're going to kill you. You say, well, then kill me. You're the one going to hell, not me.
Mm, wow.
Or you run away from them, or you fall on the ground, or you scream and yell, or you throw up, or you do whatever.
Yeah.
You relieve yourself. You just do whatever to thwart the plans of the criminal or the rapist or the kidnapper. You know, generally, what does Leviticus say? You shall not go about as a talebearer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't go around telling tall tales.
Right.
And of course, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And that's when you're deceiving someone for some sinful purpose. But when you are deceiving the wicked, including like in World War II, D-Day, we did everything we could to deceive the Germans. And we succeeded to a large measure. Mm-hmm. I mean, we built an entire fake army.
Yeah, a lot of balloons.
And bases and tanks and planes and boats. It was all make-believe.
Yeah, we put our most effective general in charge of the fake army because we thought the Germans, oh, surely they're going to think Patton's in charge.
Right.
And then the other guy went.
Right.
What was his name? So, I can't remember his name.
Well, it was Eisenhower who launched Operation Overlord.
He was the overall commander of all Allied forces.
Who headed up the effort, the invasion of Germany?
That would have been Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
Omar Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at any rate, there are tons of deception used. And when you're fighting the wicked, deceiving the enemy is a good thing. It's righteous. It's noble. God taught Israel to do that in the conquest of Canaan with the city of Ai after Jericho. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, it's a legalistic thing to pretend that you could never lie. That's legalism. It's a form of self-righteousness. Okay, Judah, these are interesting questions, of course. Do you have any others?
Yes, I do. So, just being a Christian and you have Christian friends, and then when you go to church, you get a lot of people's different opinions. But lately, a lot of people seem to think that God has like a personal plan for their life, but then they twist it around when something bad happens. They say, oh, God is teaching me something, or He's just trying to nurture me in a way that he wants me to go, or maybe it's not my time yet. So it just seems very...
In other words, if God has a plan for your life and now you just got fired, why can't it just be the plan? Why does it have to be some departure from the plan? And we got to make an excuse for this. So that's all superstition that God micromanages. You know how a cultist will try to read tea leaves at the bottom of a cup of tea, or chicken entrails. Kill a chicken, cut out its guts, look at its gizzard, and try to interpret based on the way the chicken entrails fell into the sink or into a bucket, try to figure out what is God's intention in this. And it's just superstition. So if you get a flat tire, it doesn't mean the devil did it. It doesn't mean God did it. If you can't tell if it's the devil or God, stop trying to guess. It's just you got a flat tire and you need new tires.
That kind of leads me to my second question.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Christians praying and asking God for, like, making a tough decision. Should we wait, try to find some spiritual message that comes to us, or should we go make that decision?
Oh. Well, looking to the Lord for wisdom is an essential part of the Christian life. And the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So the more you know the word, the more you know the Lord, because it's his word. And he's given us a mind in order to make decisions. And so it's like parents who do not want their kids to ask them what to do in every circumstance. We want our kids to grow up, to use their faculties, their maturity, their wisdom, to make good decisions. So I don't want we have kids who are in their 30s, 20s, teens. I don't want every time they face a question to say, you know, Mom, what do I do? Asking for counsel is fine. But we want them to be able to make good decisions. And God wants that of us.
Well, yeah. My uncle brought this up to me. He mentioned that there was a couple of families who lost their jobs and the father was looking for work.
Yeah.
And one family, he did get a job opportunity, but he wanted to wait on God and see what God would say. And I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's hyper spirituality. What I would think is that it wasn't the kind of work he wanted to do.
Yeah, so somebody, that's probably more.
So somebody says, here's a job, you know, you could be changing oil down on the corner.
Yeah.
Gas station. Well, I'm waiting on God to see. And, you know, my unemployment lasts for another 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on God.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd say God is used as an excuse often. Mm. People say, I don't feel led, whereas it might be they have lead in their pants. So.
It'd be the bigger problem.
At any rate, Judah, very cool.
And they often get their calling right as the unemployment checks run out.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they get their message.
Yeah. So being hyper-spiritual is not biblical, of course. And even in worse cases, mental illness is expressed often in terms of hyper-spirituality. And I have known people who, you know, have had to be hospitalized for mental illness. And oftentimes, they will become hyper-spiritual.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Can you define what hyper-spiritual means?
Well, that's a great question. It's like so many other things. You know it when you see it. When someone is faced with a dilemma and they can't respond to the dilemma, all they can do is quote Bible verses, for example. When Abraham, his nephew Lot, was kidnapped, if Abraham said, well, I'm just going to sit down and read the scriptures. I'm going to read the book of Job.
Mm.
Well, that was even before the book of Job was written. But yeah. I'm just going to sit down and pray. That's all I'm going to do. Abraham wouldn't have ended up in the Bible. But because he went out after the kidnappers to get his nephew Lot back, he ended up in the Bible because he loved God and he lived in such a way that you could tell that he loved God. But if you're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good, that's a form of being hyper-spiritual.
Mm. And that makes it more clear. I do have another question, and it comes up whenever we talk about, does God know the future completely, and Calvinism. Mm. Believing that the future is open, it defeats a lot of the Calvinism problems, but it leaves open just a few, but there's probably a good explanation for it.
All right.
One thing is, how does God prophesy things that will happen in the future, like in Revelation or Daniel?
Yeah.
And then remember with Joseph, he predicted that there was going to be a drought for 7 years, I think.
Yes, right.
And for that.
So when you discuss the issues of predestination and or foreknowledge, it's difficult for people to realize that those are separate topics from intervention. God could intervene. So when a Calvinist is debating someone, he assumes that the alternative position to his own is a belief that God is totally incapable of doing anything. That's what they pretend.
It seems that way, yeah.
Why do they behave that way, Doug? There's no theological answer to that. That's a psychological question.
Yeah.
Why do Calvinists in debates pretend that the alternative position is that God is incompetent and utterly incapable?
I think I know why.
Why?
It's because their position is untenable without that other, unless that other position is the only option.
So they create a straw man, which is either it's predestined or God is incompetent.
Mm.
So God can say there's going to be a drought because he's going to withhold the rain. It's not like the only way God could know there's going to be a drought is if he has a crystal ball and he looks into the future. God could withhold the rain. So that's intervention is yet a separate issue as compared to foreknowledge and predestination. So I think that's the answer, Judah, as I understand your question.
Yeah, I think that answers pretty well.
Cool. So we have just a few more minutes. Did you write down a bunch of questions before you called?
Yeah, I had to shorten it.
Well, that's awesome. You know, Doug often says that we don't accept advertisers and we don't tolerate callers.
That's right. No callers, no sponsors. But they will not be tolerated.
But if we had prepared callers like Judah, I think we'd be willing.
Judah, how long have you been accumulating these questions?
Over the time I've been listening to Bob Inyart.
Oh, that's great.
And now I get a chance to call in.
How long have you been listening?
15 years old.
Since you're 15.
So a few years. So we only have a few minutes left, Judah. Do you have another question or two?
I got a question that's only two words.
Yeah.
Arnold Murray.
Arnold Murray. I know that guy out of Gravitz, Arkansas.
Refresh my memory.
He's a false teacher on radio and or TV, Doug.
No. There's false teachers on radio and TV?
He claims that, for example,
yeah,
he has racist overtones in his teaching.
Oh.
He claims that Cain's father was the devil. Even though it says in Genesis 4:1, it says, now Adam new Eve, and that's a euphemism in the Bible.
Yeah.
So Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore a son and called his name Cain.
Uh-huh.
And said, I've been given a son from the Lord.
I remember that verse.
I mean, you can't have more. It can't be more specifically stated. If the plan was to refute Arnold Murray from the beginning in Genesis,
yeah,
you couldn't do a more perfect job.
Well, maybe he shoehorned the devil back in the original Hebrew. See, you don't speak the original.
Yeah, so,
I don't know how Murray pulls
so
that.
So here's what happened. Arnold Murray got this cockamamie idea that Cain's father was the devil and Cain's descendants survived the flood outside of the ark. And so Cain's descendants, even today, are cursed. He got that whole cockamamie idea, and he began to build a little following around that idea without really looking carefully at Genesis and the record and where it explicitly states that Adam was Cain's father. So he missed all that.
Yeah.
So he missed
all that. I do one last question.
Yeah, please.
If it's okay. So I show people the verse about Adam and Eve conceiving, and what if the person still holds on to the Arnold Murray belief? Is there any hope? Or,
well, Christians, and even the criminal on the cross, for example, if we gave him a theology test, he probably would do very, very badly. And so Christians are not required by God to be correct on a host of hundreds of theology questions, but whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead. And so the threshold for salvation, who gets saved and who doesn't, is humility. If you trust in Jesus Christ, if you're sorry and ask God to forgive you and trust that Jesus Christ died for your sin and he was raised from the dead, then you will live forever. And so whoever believes, whatever Christian goes down an absurd path, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian. But, you know, you got to be careful, of course. So, Judah, thank you so much.
For sure.
What an honor to have Judah from California. Thanks, Doug. God bless you guys.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob and Yart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob and Yart live on the air. Thank you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob and Yart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.